Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast in the States on the radio, and then all around the world on the God Is podcast. We do have many listeners from outside the U.S. via the free podcast, and so I always want to make sure you feel welcomed by those of us hearing this on the radio. New England and California are areas of America in desperate need of the gospel of God, given by sound and clear Bible teaching. And so pray with me that the Holy Spirit will take these broadcasts and podcasts and pump them into the ears of those for whom He has chosen to save from sin. Thank you so much for your prayers for me also. I face a lot of resistance from Satan in the teaching I'm offering you daily, so ask the Lord to defend me from the evil one. There is joy in serving Jesus, but there is also difficulty, hardship, and temptation. And those of you Christians out there on the roads, in your offices, and doing your jobs, those of you in your home, parenting, and giving care to your parents, you students, you teachers, whoever you are and whatever you're doing, you have a ministry also. Christ has given you the responsibility and the honor of telling the people around you all about Him. So I pray for you, and I ask that He will protect you also from the devil and his schemes. Put on the full armor of God today and tonight. And you can read Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. If you are not sure what I am talking about or need the refresher. As you know, if you've been with us, in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, Jesus teaches us yet another lesson about God. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify Himself with us. Yes, God gives us Jesus to identify Himself with us. We saw this in verses 15 and 16 already, and today we come into the remainder of verse 16 and emphasize heavily verse 17, where in these verses is the identification of God with us. Well, here is how I want to tackle Matthew 3, verses 16 to 17. I'm going to split our time verse by verse. So first I will comment on verse 16, and then tomorrow I will begin my comments on verse 17. Hence, let me read to you Matthew 3, verse 16. This is Matthew 3, verse 16. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on Him. Oh, this is so rich, and I want to say three things about this one verse. First, notice that Jesus was immersed in the water. This is baptism by full immersion in the water of the Jordan River. Second, notice the heavens were then opened, and He saw. And we have to ask, who is He? Is He Jesus? Or is He John the Baptist? Or both? And did anyone else see the heavens open besides Jesus and John? And third, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descends from heaven as a dove and is lighting on Jesus. What does all that mean? Why does Jesus require the Holy Spirit? Did the Spirit take on the form of a dove? Or was this a literal dove? And what does lighting mean? It is not lightning, like bolts out of the sky. This is not that, but lighting. Okay, those are three topics, and so let's start with the first one. Verse 16 begins, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. This indicates that when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he submerged Jesus under the water of the Jordan and then brought the Lord back up out of the water. The Bible says Jesus came up from the water. This is why I believe in baptism by total immersion. I do not believe that we should baptize by sprinkling or pouring. I realize I might get some notes of disagreement on this. That's all right. I'm explaining why when I baptize a person who has faith in Christ, I do so in water, in which I hold my left arm across his or her back and lower this believer into the water, fully submerged, and then pull them back up immediately out of the water. I do so because I believe this follows exactly how Jesus was baptized. Jesus teaches us all that we need to know and to model in our lives, including this. Only one time in the many baptisms I have had the privilege and honor of doing did I almost lose a man under the water. He was very strong, brother in Christ, dense, not a pick of fat on his body, and muscular as an actor advertising a gym membership. Despite my instruction that he bend his knees a little to help me out, he went as stiff as a board and fell straight back as if he had fainted. In doing so, he nearly ripped my arm out of its socket. Ouch! But by the grace of God, old Pastor Mark held on and got him out of the cold water and back on his feet. In fact, I thought he had fainted, but he looked over, smiled at me, and shook my hand. And all this while the church looked on and gasped. His is a baptism I will never forget. And no, I did not join the gym afterwards to build up muscle in my arm either. There are two other reasons why I believe in baptism by total immersion in water. And the first is, it was the practice of John the Baptist to baptize where there was a lot of water. Listen to the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 23. This is John 3, 23. John was also baptizing in Ainon, near Salim, because there was much water there. John would not need much water if he was merely sprinkling or pouring, right? And my other reason for believing in baptism by immersion in water goes with what baptism symbolizes, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Christ, through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. That's Colossians 2:12, and the apostle speaks of the symbolism. Being immersed under the water is like the death and burial of Jesus, and then being raised up out of the water is like the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Dying and being raised, again, does not go with sprinkling or pouring. It does not. I believe Jesus was fully immersed, and so we should practice baptism this exact same way. Now let's drop down to my second point. Again, I'm giving you three insights into this one verse, Matthew 3, verse 16. Second, notice the heavens were then opened, and he saw. The Bible says the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. We have to ask, who is he? And the reason we have to ask this is because in the Bible, the pronoun he here is not capitalized, which it would be if this were only Jesus who saw. Is he Jesus, or is he John the Baptist, or both? And did anyone else see the heavens open besides Jesus and John? In answering this, my research has led me to conclude that definitely Jesus saw this. I know that for sure. And I also believe John the Baptist witnessed the heavens opening and the dove descending as well. But I do not think anyone else saw this. Why do I say that? That's easy. First, I say Jesus saw this because of what we have here in Matthew's account. But furthermore, listen as I read Mark chapter 1 and verse 10. Again, this is Mark 1 verse 10. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. In this text, he is capitalized, meaning Jesus, and the Spirit like a dove is descending on him. Capital H-I-M, him. So that means Jesus saw. And then, concerning why I think John the Baptist also witnessed this, listen to what the gospel writer and apostle John writes about John the Baptist over in the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 32. Do not get confused. Here I speak of two different men named John. We have John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, and then we have a different John, who was John the apostle and writer. So John the Gospel writer says, quote, John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. That is John 1:32. John the Baptist said, he saw the dove descending from heaven upon Jesus and remaining on Jesus. Therefore, I have concluded that, my second point, he saw in Matthew 3:16 is both Jesus and John the Baptist. Now, you are thinking, who cares? This is so technical. What does it matter who saw? If you have this question, I get it. I can understand how on a busy Tuesday, perhaps on your way to or home from work, you're wondering this. I can only tell you this does matter. It matters for context. It will matter when we get to application, and for me, it always matters that we understand with clarity what the Bible means by what the Bible says. And now when you're reading along in Matthew 3 and verse 16, and you see the pronoun he is not capitalized, and you wonder, did only John the Baptist see the heavens open, and the dove, the Spirit of God descending unto Jesus? Now you will know that he refers to both John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. Whereas without this teaching or similar teaching in the past, you would not know that. My goal here with this ministry is not only to meet your immediate wants, but also to feed you knowledge about God through his word. This ministry is primarily about God, not about us. So much of Christian broadcasting today in all its various forms is about you and me. You would think God existed to bless us. No, no. No, we exist to bless him. We exist to bless the one living and true God. Our lives are all about him, not the other way around. I believe this. And just before leaving this second insight of mine into Matthew 3 and verse 16, let me tell you that the heavens were opened. It's very biblical. I do not have the time to read each one of these texts to you, but I invite you to read them on your own time. Ready? I'll repeat these. Ezekiel 1:1-19, Acts 7:56, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, and Revelation 4:1, 11:19, and 19:11. I'll repeat them. Ezekiel 1:1-19, Acts 7:56, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, and Revelation 4:1, 11:19, and 19:11. Give those a look tonight. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will finish off my third insight into Matthew 3, verse 16, and then move down into verse 17 of the same chapter, Matthew 3. So I hope you will invite someone to join you, and then be right back here tomorrow for much more of who God is.